This is Roland Chidiac Connects, a podcast about motivation and inspiration. Ever wonder what drives people to do what they do? Join me as I connect with a variety of people who have great stories to tell about what inspires them, ignites their passions, and leads them to make a difference in their work and the people around them. This is episode 50 of Roland Chidiac Connects, a podcast about motivation and inspiration. And my guest this evening is someone that I've been trying to talk to for a long time. It's just not worked out, but today's the day, and I'm so happy. Her name is Ali Ruby, and Ali is someone that I've connected with on Instagram. And so we've never met before. We've just kind of been going back and forth on Instagram about all kinds of stuff. Lately, it's been about the TV show. We're both into it. And it's kind of cool that we can go back and forth and just talk about the show or whatnot. But Ali, I would say, is not known for her talk of TV shows. On Instagram, her handle is I Did It For Myself. And from my perspective, and we'll hear from her and she'll tell us if I've got it wrong or not. But my perspective is we have this young individual who is, for lack of a better word, I'm going to call you a bodybuilder, but you can correct me if that's not what you are or what you're doing. But you're into fitness and you do document a lot of your journey. And the thing that really got me interested in wanting to talk to you, a couple of things. Number one, you've got some really cool tattoos that just kind of stand out and I've never really seen before. And I'd love to hear some of the story behind those. But also the way that you are constantly, you're providing us with photograph images of you working out and of your look these days. And you're also providing a lot of information, like in text form, about motivation, about your story, about it's all, and it seems really real. And at first I thought that your account, Ali's account, was just one of these millions of ones on Instagram where it's just this person who's trying to sell themselves for whatever reason. But when I started interacting with you, leaving comments on your pictures, you'd respond, which is totally engaging, obviously. And then, you know, you and I have taken it deeper in terms of, like I said, we're talking about a TV show now, kind of, in direct messages rather than on the page itself where all your pictures are. So I wanted to connect with you to talk about what motivates and inspires you and to get your story out, because I think it's important. And I think you've made yourself so available and so vulnerable in a way that I would love to hear about what leads you to do that. So Ali, welcome to the podcast.
Well, hello. Thank you. I'm sorry it took so long to finally get on here. Life happens.
Yeah, I hear you. Life happens. And, you know, for both of us, like, I'm really appreciative of the fact that you were able to kind of make your schedule work to fit my schedule. Usually it doesn't happen that way. And you're an hour behind me. So right now, you know, it's later for me than it is for you. So thank you for spending some of your evening with me. So let's start with having you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're up to these days in terms of like your profession. And you can tell us a little bit about whether I got it right or not. Are you a bodybuilder or are you just someone who likes to take care of yourself by eating right and exercising?
My direction, it changes all the time. I was in bodybuilding at first, at the beginning of the year, but then life happens. And I actually switched to getting more into powerlifting. And when I lost my weight, it really, really clicked back in like fall that I'm no longer on the verge of just weight loss anymore. And a lot of people don't understand that because they've never actually been through a transformation. And it clicked at that point where it's like, wow, this is like more of a change of behavior versus a change of just your physique. So when life started to happen, I was like, you know, I just really wanted to play and try everything once I hit like a goal of a weight loss. And so then I just switched to doing powerlifting now. I've been doing it for about 6 months now.
Awesome. Okay. So now you talked a little bit about weight loss. So I'm going to take you to an article that I found online about you. It's on the bodybuilding.com website, and it was written July 2016, so almost a year ago. And the title is Ali Dropped 75 Pounds and Found Happiness with Fitness. Now, I have to say that when I see these kinds of things, I don't even read them. I'm like, why bother? Because they always seem to have the same formula to them. They have like so-and-so dropped this many pounds and is doing this now. And it's like, whatever. Most of them are just clickbait or whatever. But having kind of connected with you already and got an idea of what you're about and who you are as much as I can from the internet, reading this article, it's really cool to read it and then to compare it to like the Ali that I see on Instagram, that I talk to on Instagram. And so it's really neat that this is the first time that I've seen an article like this where I actually, like, I read it from beginning to end and I was like, hey, I know somebody who's actually done this, who's, as you said, has transformed. So I would love to hear, what was it that you woke up one morning and you're like, yeah, I don't want to live the way I'm living anymore. I need to change. What happened? How did that come to be?
Oh man, it was a series of events. I graduated college. I stayed an extra semester and then I moved down to Des Moines, Iowa, where I'm at now. And I was just living by myself and I was still kind of living that, you know, college lifestyle where, okay, do your work Monday through Friday and then just go drink and have fun with friends on the weekends. And I just didn't feel like that was what I was supposed to be doing at that point in my life. And I remember just sitting in at work. I worked in the lab at this point. I was a microbiologist, and this is going to get a little detailed. I'm noted for being very detailed in all my posts. But I remember like sitting on the lab bench, and I'd have to adjust my bra all the time because, you know, some women, they talk about like how they have rolls underneath their bra and it's so uncomfortable. I remember that and just feeling uncomfortable just sitting there, and I would be exhausted at the end of the day. I'd go and get a ton of junk food over lunch and over snacks. And then it literally was one day I checked Facebook and my mom, she put a picture of me up and I was devastated. I just started bawling and I called her and I told her, you need to take this off now. You need to untag me. This is unacceptable. It's like, I hate this. I was bawling my eyes out and I was like, why am I so upset about this? There's got to be a bigger picture to this. And then the next day I woke up and looked in the mirror and I remember exactly what I was wearing. And I said, F this, I'm done. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to find a way to make this happen. I'm going to change myself.
Wow. That's powerful. Yeah. And so from that point on, you just started moving in this direction, right?
I did.
Like, I guess you changed your eating and stuff.
Everybody is like, people ask me all the time, Ali, what do I do? What did you do? What are the every step you took? And I'm like, you just need to stop, slow down, and like common sense. Let's talk common sense. Every day I would come home from work, take my dog outside, and then I'd probably hit up McDonald's, pick up two McChickens and a double cheeseburger meal, large Coke, everything. All I was doing was eating crap, right? And I was doing nothing except for sitting there watching The Bachelor. So all I did was I started walking my dog more. And then I was like, you know what? We should start running a little bit. This is like me at 225 pounds, moved down to Des Moines by myself and in a strange neighborhood. But I was like, screw it. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. And then I had a scale and I think I weighed myself two or three times a week. And then I was seeing progress. And when I hit like, I think 210, that's when I started to be like, okay, let's see what kind of food should we eat. And it was just your common sense stuff, right? Like, oh, I probably shouldn't be going to McDonald's. Oh, I hear chicken's good for you. I hear cottage cheese is good for you. I didn't bother myself with portion sizes. All I did was make the step to choose a better option.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go back a little bit. You were working as a microbiologist when this started.
Correct.
So I'm thinking, and I could be wrong, but to become a microbiologist, you're going to have to study some pretty intense stuff. You have to have a mind about yourself in terms of like your, I'm guessing your, the studying you did to get to become a microbiologist isn't that easy, right? Like you need a science degree at least. And what got you kind of going down that road? What got you into becoming a microbiologist?
I actually got my degree in genetics. I went to the greatest school in the entire world called, sorry, my dog's going crazy,
okay,
called Iowa State University. But yep, I studied genetics, and yeah, it was overwhelmingly hard. I had horrible anxiety through all of college, and I was always anxious about like, what was my next step? I have to be better. I have to be the best. I have to go to grad school. I have to keep up with my peers. I have to do this. I have to do that. Because girl had to pay for her college. I'm still paying for it. I'm out of state, but it was probably the best learning experience of my entire life. Like, I learned, obviously, everything science, but the best thing I did was I learned how to learn, like, independently of, like, each topic. Like, physics is different from biochemistry. Biochemistry is so different from organic chemistry. And then it's great because, like, right now I don't work directly in research or in a lab, but I work for a lab and I work in IT, and it's great because I've had to teach myself a lot of stuff, and it's fun because I love the science part of fitness. Like, I have this audible right now that I'm listening to called The Biology of Belief, and it goes all the way to nuclear, like all the way from the beginning of Democritus and Socrates to modern genetics. So I'm like, oh, it's fun applying this stuff now that I get it.
So what would you say is your actual job title today?
I work in information management.
Okay. And it has nothing to do with genetics or science? It's purely like IT?
It's IT for a research company, yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is very applicable. It's very rewarding.
And when you're not doing that, you're exercising, you're at the gym?
Yes, I go to the gym I go 5 days a week.
Okay. And what allows you to share your life with the rest of us on Instagram? What is it about, what leads you to provide? Now, anybody who doesn't follow you, I'm sure will check you out. So as I said, her handle is I Did It For Myself on Instagram. And if you read some of Ali's posts, you'll see that they can be kind of long and detailed, as you said, but there's a lot of little tidbits in there. And I know I've read some of your things and I've been like, whoa, that makes total sense. What leads you to do that?
Oh, that makes me so happy. I'm glad you said that. Well, how about I tell you the transformation of my Instagram social media?
Yes, tell us.
So I started actually on Tumblr, like right when I first started to be like, okay, I'm interested in this and like changing my life. Way back, it was August 28th, 2013, and I made an account and it was called I'm Doing It For Myself. And it lasted for about 8 months, but then I deleted it because I thought Tumblr was kind of, it portrayed too much of what I am not. Like, I'm not somebody who wants to express sexuality for attention. That is one of the last things I want to do. And so I deleted that account. And then a couple years later, how was it? I think it was like later in 2014, I created an Instagram account, and I didn't have much on it. It's the one I did it for myself. And I kind of abandoned it for a while, just go about life. And during life, I actually ended up getting what's called piriformis syndrome, where my piriformis is in your glute. It's a really small one. And if you tweak it, it hurts. It's sciatic pain. And I had that for 8 months. And I actually gained back about like 25 pounds because I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. I had to work from home all the time because I couldn't even sit in a chair. So when that started to feel better, I got back on my Instagram account and I was like, you know what? I want to use this as a source of accountability to hold myself accountable. As like, I had no idea what would happen. So I actually have some, I call them Instagram friends or even just friends in general, who are from all over the world. And we've been connected since then, since like my basically beginning of Instagram. And then I hired a personal trainer at this time, and he helped introduce me to like portioning of food. Not a very good way of portioning food. He had me on 1,200 calories a day, which is horrible. Yeah, I have about 2,100 now minimum. It's insane. But I lost some weight, and then I kept up with it. I kept doing transformation photos, connecting with people. I was like, wow, this is really nice. And then someone I was following, I don't remember who, she posted something about, oh, I forgot what the challenge was called. but it was through bodybuilding.com, and it was in December. 30 days of fit. So they did 30-day challenge over like the holidays to see if you can stay fit. And they had little activities every time. And so I really participated. And then I learned about hashtags and how hashtags and marketing really work. And then I saw their, they advertised for their 250K challenge. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, girl's getting on this. I actually just signed up for Russian kettlebell certification then the following April. And the reason why I wanted to do certification was because I got my piriformis syndrome from a group fitness, and the trainer did not know how to train kettlebells. So it was kind of mine. This thing immobilized me, and now I want to master it. So I used that time during the 250K challenge to really drill into, I want to learn how food works. I want to learn more about nutrition, macros, calories, portioning, everything, all while training for my RKC, the acronym. And it was awesome. I connected with so many people just by clicking that little hashtag link, 250K challenge. I was connected to millions of people who were also working to become their best self. It was amazing. It was awesome. And then I killed it at my RKC, and I kept like sharing, and I picked up on a couple hashtags. There was the, I still do them. There's the Transformation Tuesday, and then Throwback Thursday. And then it was great. It was, I loved connecting with the people more than anything. And then I actually submitted my transformation story to bodybuilding.com, and then my Instagram started to really grow. And I'm not somebody who really has a big head. It's hard for me to think that, like, people around here, they'll call me like a local celebrity, and I'm like, no, I'm not. I have a 9-to-5 job. I do everything you do. And I also believe that everybody can do everything that I do. And then I started to listen more. I'd say I started to pick up last year in the fall some Tony Robbins. He is the man. He is the man. And then I listened to the beginning of 2016, I started listening to Eric Thomas. Just like, I wouldn't even call it positive and motivation. I would just say it's real shit. It's real. It's real stuff. And that's what I try to do. And then I was like, as I kept searching Tony Robbins, I listened to his Six Human Needs. Have you heard listened to it?
No, I haven't.
Let me see if I can remember them all. These are needs people like must have. They can be different ratios, but everybody has these. There's your certainty. You're certain about certain things. There's uncertainty, like you're more of your risk takers. And then you have your significance. How are you significant? Like, hey, I have my tattoos, right? And then there's a sense of community. Where do you belong? And then there's two that not many people hit. There is contribution and growth. And he described how people who fit all six of these human needs feel the most fulfillment in their life. And I was really, really intrigued on the thing of growth, because I was like, okay, I get this. I'm experiencing this growth physically, but I was like, there has to be more. So I kept digging and digging, and I just would go to my local coffee shop, sit down, and just research different theories. And there were three of them that I completely agree with, called there's the growth physically, there's growth intellectually, and there's growth spiritually. And I think there is, I posted recently on Instagram from Elliot of Strength Camp about how he describes how there is a line when you are training that you hit a spiritual level. And then I'm just like, you know what? All this stuff I think of is totally relatable. So that's when I started, you know, there's a deeper meaning to everything in life. And my connection and my crossing point was through fitness and exercise.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing that information. It's neat for me to hear it because I've not heard it before. So it's just neat to kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together to get a better idea of who you are and kind of where you've come from and where you're at. And when you say that the people that are with you right now refer to you as a celebrity, okay, so it's really neat that they would say that, because according to your Instagram account, you're popular in that realm. But I have found that people who tend to be big in those spaces don't seem to make time for people. But that's not the vibe I get from you. Like I said, like, you and I interact all the time. Yeah. I'm not big. I'm just, I will comment about something you've said in your post or a picture or a video. or, and like I said, we've been going back and forth trying to figure out a time to talk. And yeah. So there's something about the way you approach what you do that doesn't, it seems really authentic. And I really appreciate that because it means you're accessible. So people who are hearing this, who might want to hit you up and talk about something they heard or something they saw, I have a good feeling you'll probably communicate back with them, and who knows where that'll go. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people who that don't do that. And that's kind of, for me, that's kind of the turn off of social media, is that when you connect with someone, or you want to connect with someone that activates something in you, that gets you sparked, or provides you with things that you're wondering about, and you try to connect with them and they just kind of turn it off, it's like, wow, that's a downer. Like, you know what, it turns you totally off. Like you stop looking at their stuff. You don't pay attention to their tweets. If it's on Twitter and if it's on Facebook, you just kind of turn off notifications about them or whatever, because you know, it's not a two-way street. But it's not like that with you. So it's really cool to hear the story behind the story.
I'm glad to hear that, because like back to the six human needs is contribution. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like, wow, am I doing enough? Am I giving enough? And like in my personal life, I work 9-to-5 job, and I like to work out mostly in my mornings, and sometimes I go at nighttime too. So my day is not fully accessible to do like a crazy amount of volunteering or anything. So it's great to hear that I can help somebody. I don't know. It's just easy for me. I don't picture myself as a celebrity, and I don't know if it's like the Midwest values that we have here or what, but I just an everyday person. All I want people to know is that you can do whatever the hell you want to do. Mm-hmm. And just gotta be nice to people. That's all you gotta do. We're all here for the same reasons, going different places.
Right. And I get that vibe. Yeah. But for me, it's still, I'm not posting any pictures of me working out on the internet. That's just not happening. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not my, wheelhouse. That's not what I'm going to do. But so to see other people doing it is really kind of cool.
Yeah. I think you gotta love it or you're going to hate it. Like, I've tried so many times to use YouTube. Maybe you saw it, how I was like, I'm done with this. I can't do this anymore. This takes too much time. But now I'm back. Really? Like,
okay. Yeah. Cause I was going to ask you about your YouTube channel, because it seems like it's taking off in terms of you're regularly recording stuff and putting it out for people.
Yeah. It's just, oh man, if before I tried to have a plan and like details, and I tried to execute it too much, like this, and this, too many boundaries, I'd say. And now mm-hmm. I'm like, no, Allie, you got to activate your creativity and do something you like. Like I don't know if you catch my motivation Sundays. Like, this is stuff usually I come up with during the week. And a lot of them have to do with like a post or revelation that I come up with.
Right. And I have to admit, I'm not checking out your YouTube channel maybe as much as I'm going to start. But like I see little bits of it on Instagram. And you're right. You do seem to. Well, I don't know if you have a plan or not, but you do seem to be more of your, I don't know what to call it, your bubbly, bouncy self.
Yeah.
On YouTube. Yeah.
You get more time there. And also YouTube is so helpful, because a lot of people ask me, how'd you get started? What's your story? Blah, blah, blah. They'll just message me this stuff and I can copy paste it from like my phone, like in my notes, or I can just send them the link. And I feel like it's more of that, like where I work at, I can do, I work with people all over the world. That's another thing that I like. I like working with different cultures and different types of people. And a lot of times I have to do like Skype or something, mm-hmm. but it's so great. Like the other week we had a huge department meeting where people came in from the entire world. And I'm like, wow, if I can sit in front of you face to face or as close to that as I can, and I can hit as many people, that's my goal.
Okay. I want to, now you've given us a lot of information, so I'm thinking that my next question that I want to ask, you've probably already kind of given us a flavor for it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What generally motivates and inspires you daily?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I think it's become more of a habit of to do something. I just remember myself when I was, I'd say at my saddest point. Like right before I just made the revelation of, I just need to make a change. I remember how miserable I was. I remember how I felt like I couldn't do anything, how I felt just kind of helpless. And I was like, I don't want to be that girl anymore. It's like, I'm never going to be her. And I think every day I say, I got to make the old Allie proud. I have to one up whatever the new Allie would be.
Okay.
And all and of it, so that- all of it really has to come back to is fulfillment. And it's like, I change my goals all the time, and I don't even actually like to call them goals because I do not like cliche terminology. I don't like the term goals. I don't like the term passions because I feel like it's mainly because I actually have my first ever resume for after college, and I had those things on there, and there was no motivation. Like, there was no passion. There were no goals. There was just fear of being stuck where I was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's always to just find fulfillment. Improve the old Allie that we can do it.
But I really like that you whatever you're doing, you want to make good by the old Allie. That's yep. So cool, because in my mind, you've mentioned the word transformation now a couple of times, and it's like, it's so cool to think that you're always showing respect to your old self by thinking of what you're doing today and how would it show respect to your old self or not. I really like that idea. Like, it's very zen in a way.
Oh, yeah. So I have this group chat with two of my girlfriends. We call ourselves the support sisters, like everything. Like, if you haven't checked out my Instagram yet, I'm stupid vulnerable. I say a lot. I swear a lot, but I think it's empowering swearing. But one of my girlfriends recently, she was having a really negative day, and she was like, I can't believe I am at this point. I look like this. And I said to her, what would your future self say to you right now? Like, I remember the way I used to talk to myself, and it was really bad. It was really negative. And you know what? Then it led to like a quiet Allie. I used to not be this loud about things. And I think about that now too. I'm like, okay, whenever I'm starting to get negative is would the new Allie be happy you're talking to yourself like this? Would the new Allie be happy that you're doing this now? Would your future self, what would she say to you?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I like that. I like that a lot. And I've heard it before from other people. Just it's not come out the same way that you just said it. So,
oh, good.
Wow. Yeah. You've got me reflecting on that. As I'm flipping through your Instagram, I'm trying to find the best picture I can of your tattoos so I can try to describe them. Because like I said, I know it sounds so corny, right? Like, I remember saying to you a while back, I asked you about your tattoos, and it just sound, to be honest with you, even I was like, wow, this sounds really stupid, Roland. But I was like, no, I'm going to ask. I don't know, or I got nothing to lose. And you did kind of, you sent me in different directions, but I still never really got a flavor for your tattoos. So this is what I'm going to try to do. First of all, I found a post from May 1st, and I want to read it. So on May 1st, there's a picture of you. It's a picture of your back and your arms, and you're like doing a selfie in the mirror kind of thing. So I can see your tattoos, but I want to read what your post was that day. Because again, when people hear it, it's more than just bodybuilding. It's more than just lifting weights. It's more than just eating well. It's a mindset, and it's positive. It's like, this is what you need to do to move forward, people. So this is what it says. And then we'll talk about tattoos. It says, you know what is tough? Developing mental strength. I don't mean the whole open quote, do everything regardless of what is going on, close quote. I mean the whole self-awareness, knowing who you are, what you value, why you do what you do, and why you say yes and say no to certain things. There's quite the intimacy of you create getting to learn your whole true self. It took me being alone, disconnecting from social media and people, and getting my ass into the gym. That alone time, that time I worked on growing my body, I was connecting with my spirit. I became aware of my body and eventually my mind. I can't tell you how important it is to me to be aware of myself. It stops those mind games. Anyone going through a transformation, I guarantee you have or you will develop some form of mental strength. The strength to say no to things because you don't enjoy them, although it seems the rest of the world does. The strength to change your mind, your path in life, and maybe even relationships. It's so powerful. Get to know yourself. That's so when I'm referring to your posts and when I'm telling other people about your posts, when they're hearing about it, that's the kind of flavor I get. And it's really nice to read that on certain days and be like, holy cow, like this person, has something to offer here that I can take some of this and I can reflect on it and I can take what I like from it and I can consider it in my day or in the way I'm operating. And so I had to share that because there's so many of those. And I remember like I'd read them and I'd be like, oh my God, I'd love to talk to her about this one day on the podcast. And so much time has passed and so many posts have passed that it's like, thank God I found that one. But that's kind of the flavor that you provide people with. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
So your tattoos. Okay, the first you've got, and I don't know 100%. I'm just going to tell you what I've seen. Okay. Your right arm is heavily tattooed. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, and you have some more on like your like left or right torso kind of thing, right?
Right. Yep. I got. Okay. I don't know if you want me to go into detail on them. Do you?
Well, the one on your torso is like it looks like a DNA spiral. Is that what it's supposed to be?
Yep, is that what it is? Strand. Yes.
Okay. And what does it symbolize for you?
I am all about continuously learning. And I studied genetics in college. I love learning. I will never stop learning. I think the day you think you know everything, you know absolutely nothing. And we're changing. We're all the time changing. And it all stems back to like who we are. And when I went to college, I actually wanted to be a doctor at first. I tried to donate plasma, fainted in the chair. Didn't go anywhere near being a doctor. And then I wanted to know, why am I made up the way that I am? Why are my characteristics this way? And then now that I'm done with school, it's more of who is Allie, like on a spiritual side.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, I could learn the physical, but what's the internal?
The other one that I want to talk about that really I see it and I wonder what it is or what it means is it's on your forearm near your wrist. And is that funny?
No, it's on my left wrist, right?
Oh, okay. I'm having a hard time here with the pictures. Yes, left wrist.
Okay.
And it starts at your wrist and then it moves down your arm and then kind of stops. And I don't know what to even call it. It just looks like, I don't know what is it? Like it or just is it looks.
It's not my right arm. Is it the one that has all the tattoos on it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That is. So my whole arm, my right arm it's called trash polka. It's like a genre of tattoos. And I met my tattoo artist actually one of the last times I actually went out to the bars. We were both sitting by the bathroom and he gave me his business card. And then I hit him up back in October 2015. I was like, I want to do trash polka theme. He's like, let's do this. And this one on my forearm, I got done last May. And my dad and I have an awesome relationship. We're nerdy as all hell. We went to all the Lord of the Rings midnight shows. And so that is what you think it is. It is the One Ring. Okay. And so the theme of trash polka is to be just like, it's mostly red and black. You'll see some different colors, but he did like almost a negative of like the Tree of Gondor. And then you can see smog going like towards the pit of my elbow.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So trash polka is like a thing in tattoo culture.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I know nothing about tattoo culture, but I do have a quick little story that you might enjoy. One of my students, her dad is a tattoo artist and he has a shop just down the street from the school. And on my birthday in September, her and I were talking and, I was joking with her. I said, so what'd you get me for my birthday? And she's like, oh, nothing. And then she had this look on her face of like, uh-oh. And I'm like, no, I'm just messing around. And she's like, well, my dad, I can get you a tattoo. And don't worry, he won't rip you off. And it was just really funny. I'm like,
that's
oh.
Awesome.
I said, I'll remember that. If I ever need a tattoo, I'll go in and see your dad for sure. And I don't have any. And I don't think I'm interested, but it was a funny story connected to tattoos.
So funny. Yeah, you know, tattoos aren't for everybody. And I started getting my arm done and I was nervous to do it at first because I work in like there's like I think about 7,000 people who work in my company worldwide. And I was like, ooh, is this going to be a problem? Like, what's everybody going to think of me? Are people not going to take me seriously? And I'm very fortunate to have a very good, I don't even call him a boss because he's opposite of a boss. He's a very good leader. He's phenomenal. Just knows people's going to do their job. A good human all around. And I was like, I really want to get this like shoulder piece done. I don't know if it'll go down to my arm. Do you think it'll be bad or inappropriate? He's like, no, people have tattoos all the time. And so as I started to like work my way down my arm, like I was nervous that the older generations would be offended or say something. Nobody said anything except for compliments, which is really nice. And I've noticed a lot more people with tattoos. So I think our world is really changing. I do also like being the whole proving people wrong. Like, you know, if somebody's like, oh, this is just somebody with a tattoo. I love blowing their mind with my intelligence. I'm just like, oh, blah, 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 blah. What's this?
I was going to say that, okay, so I know you're relatively young. You're in your mid-20s. I'm 40, and I talk to my wife about this all the time. I'm like, whenever we're out, like we were at a baseball game yesterday, and there are tattoos everywhere. Like all the time. And I said to my wife, I'm like, come on. When we were 20, when we were in our late teens or whatever, did you ever see any tattoos? And she's like, not really. So either people were covering them up because they were worried about what others thought, or it just has become so much more popular. I've never really researched it to see what has really happened, but it just seems like tattoos are everywhere these days. Like for my kids growing up, they see tattoos all the time. When I was growing up, I rarely saw a tattoo. And if I did, it was on someone that we stereotyped, like, oh, that guy's got to be a biker. Or it was on like military personnel. So like when I was in cadets, you know, lots of the older guys running the cadet corps, they all had major tattoos. So it was like, you're a biker or you're in the military. Whereas today it's like I said, I was at a ball game yesterday and there were tattoos everywhere as far as I could see.
Yeah, I completely agree. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would have tattoos. I like when I got the one on my side, I was like, oh, okay, this is it. This is it. I'm never going to get anything more done. And I was like, boom, here's a sleeve 2 years later.
Right. There you go. Okay, so I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to throw it out there for all my listeners. I don't have any tattoos. I considered it when I was younger. I never went through with it. And the way I see it is if I'm going to get one, it's got to be like epic. Like I'm jealous because my brother has one. And my brother has, well, it's turning into a sleeve. My brother, okay, so my father's not with us anymore. He passed away in 2001. And so my brother got this picture of my dad that we really love. It's like it's a profile shot of my dad's face. And my brother went and found a tattoo artist who put the picture of my dad on his shoulder blade with a cross kind of built in kind of thing. And then it stems down from his shoulder and his back to his elbow, and there's this huge angel, and it looks wicked. Like I can't even explain it. Yeah, it's really cool. And I've said this to my brother. I'm like I'm jealous because that's a tattoo that I could live with. I mean, I'm not walking around my shirt off like he does, but because he works out, so he looks like he should be walking around without a shirt on. I don't. But I mean, that's a tattoo that is like I'm jealous, and not that I would get it, but if I were to get something, that's kind of what it would be. It would be kind of like a family dedication, respect type thing. But anyway, but even then I still think I would chicken out and not do it.
I'll tell you, it is a little painful, but it's only temporary. Yeah. It's temporary. The pain, not the tattoo. That's forever.
Right. Right. That's another thing that my student was telling me about. She's telling me about all the needles and the different gauges and stuff. And I was like, please stop. I can't do this. So she knows when she wants to bother me, she just starts talking about tattoos and I back right off of homework and everything. Okay. I want to move on just a little bit because I want to respect your time. But there's a couple more things I would love to know. So one of the big questions that I ask on the podcast is the question about what motivates and inspires you. And you totally gave us your perspective on that. The second big motivation, inspiration question that I like to ask my guests is, if someone came up to you and asked you to help them find motivation or inspiration, what kind of advice might you give them?
Oh my gosh. Oh man, I would, my coach. So I started with my coach back in January and I was going through a really difficult time. My grandma, she was just put in hospice and I just had to have emergency surgery. I was having problems with a really horrible living situation and I just got in a car accident. So my emotions were high. And he told me, he's like, you have the highest emotional intelligence I've ever seen in somebody. And I was like, wow, he's a very successful power lifter. And that meant a lot to me. So what I would probably say is, how do you feel right now? And I would say, I want you to capture absolutely everything you're feeling right now about yourself. Every last thing, write it down. I'm somebody who writes stuff down. I don't type stuff out. I prefer to write stuff down. And I would have them carry that with them. And I'd have them after a week later say, tell me everything you want to feel. Okay. And then I'd say, do everything that you would need to do to never feel that anymore. I hold on to some things. I have pictures of myself from when I was like my saddest and when I was very overweight. And a lot of people, they say, you know, you're still very beautiful when you're overweight. And like, I thank them for that, but it's a personal spiritual thing when you go through transformation. And that's when you remember how you used to be. And then you start moving towards something better, your better version of yourself. You're never going to go back. So I tell them to just capture who they are now.
Thank you for sharing that. I always tell people that the selfish part of the podcast is that I get to collect this information from my guests, right? Like I get to talk to these people and I get to kind of pick your brain and hear like your wonderful ideas about what you'd say to people to help them find their motivation, inspiration. So I really appreciate that. And now you're part of the 50 people who have provided us with thoughts and opinions about that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I just thought of one more thing that kind of popped into my brain as you're talking about your saddest self and where you are today. I'm actually looking at that article, which I'll post in the blog post for this podcast on the bodybuilding.com website. And it's a picture of you at 225 pounds and then a picture of you at 151 pounds. And I just had a thought on your road to transformation from where you were then, where you are today. Was it hard for the people around you to deal with the fact that you were transforming? Like, did it interfere with in your social groups and stuff where people, did you see that people either stuck around for the alley that was changing or did people take off and weren't interested anymore in being part of your journey?
I think actually what it was I like disassociated with a lot of people. Like, it wasn't any hard feelings whatsoever. I just started hanging out by myself because I used to be somebody who, I come from a divorced family and I don't like pointing blame on things. You can say one thing's the fault or one thing's the reason, but it's your responsibility to make the change, right? Mm-hmm. I come from a divorced family and it was they have very opposing views on how to raise children. So it was very difficult and I had to ask for validation, I felt like, on everything. And then like through college, I felt like I was asking like for validation. Am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And then when I finally was like, you know, I need to change my life, it kind of came smoothly and unexpectedly that I disassociated myself with a lot of people. And when I spent my alone time with myself, like I described in that post, that's when I got to know myself on more of an intimate level. And when that happened, it just kind of shifted the people who I hung out with. Like, there's no hard feelings with anybody. Like, a lot of my high school friends, they still live back home. And a lot of my college friends, I actually don't really talk to anymore because we have such different interests. So I wasn't in a relationship for 6 months of my transformation, and it ended poorly. And I just basically said, screw this. I'm working on myself until I feel like I find somebody worth my time and worth me being a better person for. I wanted to be the best version of myself for somebody because I was like, I want a family one day. And it just took me being alone, choosing to be alone. And then also, you know, you're in the group text because people want to be nice and invite you to do things. But eventually they're like, okay, she doesn't enjoy this stuff anymore, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think social media can be a great thing, is you can connect with people from all over the world. It doesn't matter that nobody at work doesn't enjoy what I do. I enjoy time with them and I enjoy what we do have together. We don't have to have the exact same interests.
Mm-hmm.
You can provide value in different ways.
Right, for sure. Okay, I don't know why I thought of that question. It just came to me like, because
that's an
excellent
one.
Well, when people change, because like you said, you had to, or maybe you didn't say, maybe I read it somewhere, but when you transform, a lot of things have to change. Like you change your behavior, right? You change the way you operate as a person. And sometimes
you think you're changing like your physical self. That's the bottom of the list that's being changed. That is the last thing that's being changed. Yep.
And some people are eliminated from your world, either because they choose to, or like you said, different interests, people go different ways. But that transformation isn't easy. And sometimes people don't transform because they're worried about what the people around them will think and feel. And that's huge. Like that's huge.
I actually had a friend, he asked me recently, he said that his girlfriend, she's losing weight and she's lost like a substantial amount so far. And he's like, I'm kind of worried. And I go, why are you worried? He said, well, what if she finds somebody better than me? And I was like, whoa, that's a red flag that I have never been in. So I was like, I can't give you any advice there. But I was like, that would be hard. That'd be hard to experience. I've heard of many instances where like one of the significant others changed their life around and then the other one got incredibly jealous and left. And I can't imagine what that would be like, how devastating that would feel.
But that's crazy, isn't it? To think that when you meet somebody or get to know somebody or connect with somebody one way, and then when they decide to make a huge change in their life, you see that person who changed, they obviously felt like they needed to, and they had to change their behavior and all kinds of things. But look at what comes of that. You know, somebody ends up leaving that maybe you don't want them to go. So, I mean, it gets very complicated. And I think a lot of people don't do what they truly want to do because they're scared of what might happen.
Exactly. Like I have so many theories. And one of them is we waste so much time not doing what we really want to do because we're worried about what other people will think.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. And you got me thinking about that when I was looking at the pictures and hearing you talk. So I had to ask because you're here.
Yeah,
so why not? Right.
Yeah.
So it's been a real pleasure talking to you. I totally have appreciated your time. And when you were talking about the negative stuff that was happening to you in January, a quick connection that when I was looking to send you a link to our meeting place tonight, I found the original link that I had created, and it was created in January. So you had agreed to come on the podcast in January. And then I remember, you know, hearing from you saying, oh, geez, this is happening in my family right now. I can't do this. I've got to be somewhere else. And I'm like, yeah, no worries. Go ahead. And I remember there was one or two other things that got in the way. I remember you telling me about your living conditions and things had changed. And so you were in the middle of... Isn't that cool that all that's coming back to me now when I look at our meeting place online and I see that it was for January? So I am happy that you stuck with me in terms of, wanting to come on and chat.
I wanted to do it for a while. And I greatly appreciate you like not being like, oh my God, she's not wanting to do anything. Because the last thing I ever want to do is someone to be like, oh, she's too good. That's not me at all.
You know what though, but if it is, it is. It's all good. I mean, people like you said, things happen, and it's just so cool though that we've been able to connect now in June, when originally we were going to do it in January. So again, the whole time between then and now, you've still engaged me on Instagram and
of course
me back to you. So it's been good, and I appreciate it. I it's nice to have you part of my tribe, my podcast tribe now.
Awesome, a new tribe.
So last thing is, if people want to connect with you, what's the best way to do so?
Probably shoot me an email, because Instagram likes to delete messages. Yeah, I found that out the hard way. My email is AllieRuby, AllieRuby, fit@gmail.com.
Okay, so you heard it, people. That's the best way. And if you want to check her out on Instagram, then her handle is at @IDidItForMyself. Just spell it out the way it's meant to be spelled, and you'll find Allie. And Allie, are you on Twitter? Is that another way? Or no, not really.
I'm trying. We'll get there eventually.
You've got Instagram pegged, but you're still working on Twitter.
Yes.
Right on. Okay, yes. Well, thanks again for your time. And as soon as this is ready to be pushed out to the masses, I will notify you so that you can do whatever you want with it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I like to push it out on Twitter. Instagram, not so much, but I think that my chat with you tonight will get me to learn a little bit more about how to use Instagram to leverage pushing out my podcast. So I'm going to do that because of the chat that we're having.
Definitely. I actually just recently got into podcasts. I used to be just like a crazy with my music on Spotify. And then I remember one day I was searching for meditation music, because I was learning how to meditate. I tried and I kept falling asleep. So, and then one thing, podcast showed up, and I was like, oh, how to meditate. And then I just kept browsing and browsing and browsing. And now I'm obsessed with podcasts cool. And audibles. Yeah.
Very cool. I like to hear that.
It's great. It's stupid for us not to use podcasts or audibles. You never stop learning, and not everybody can read all the time.
Right. It's just one other way to get the information, right?
Yes.
Okay, Allie, take care.
Thanks. You too.